The Bible is full of descriptions of God. The names by which he has revealed himself tell us much about his nature and works. His people have drawn strength, encouragement, and purpose from the titles by which God has made himself known to us. In addition to the names of God, there are numerous descriptions of God. Sometimes these descriptions focus on one particular aspect of God's nature or one particular aspect of how he deals with people. In the book of Psalms alone, we find a lengthy list of ways in which we should think of God and our relationship with him. For example, in Psalm 1, God is the one who blesses those who keep his law, but also the one who will not abide the wicked who have no regard for his word. In Psalm 2, God is the one who directs the affairs of men like a great, magnificent, and all-powerful ruler whose will is done in spite of the protest and actions of lowly creatures. God is presented as the faithful God in Psalm 3, and David writes of God's trustworthiness, even as he disciplines the king for sin. In Psalm 4, God is the vindicator of the just. In Psalm 5, God is the Holy One who does not allow evil to prevail or allow the wicked to overcome his people. The 6th Psalm pictures God as a God of abundant mercy, a God who rescues the weary soul in distress. In Psalm 7, God is the one to whom appeal can be made when our enemies accuse us of wrongdoing. God is the one who judges the transgressor, but also the one before whom the righteous have no fear. Psalm 8 presents God as the creator, whose work astonishes the observer. Yet this great creator has decreed that man should rule over the works of God's hands. On and on we could go, finding descriptions of God. The book of Psalms is often the first place to which Christians turn when they need comfort or assurance or instruction. God has given us a true treasure in the Psalms. God is the everlasting God in Psalm 9, the God of justice in Psalm 10, the refuge to which his people flee, Psalm 11, the God who speaks pure words, Psalm 12, the God who chastises in mercy, Psalm 13, the God who will confound the wicked just when they think they are secure, Psalm 14, the God whose holiness will be preserved and reflected in his people, Psalm 15, and the God who delights in his saints, Psalm 16. In the Psalms, we find description after description highlighting some attribute of God or some element of how he cares for his own and opposes those who refuse to obey his word. It is no surprise, therefore, that one of the most widely known passages of Scripture among believers and unbelievers, as a matter of fact, comes from the book of Psalms. We learn this psalm when we are little children, just speaking our first words. The words of this psalm have been the last words many people have heard spoken as they slipped from this life into the presence of God. The words of this psalm have been recited by soldiers in foxholes as bullets whizzed overhead and explosions erupted all around them. The words of this psalm are read to criminals as they take their last walk from the holding cell to the electric chair or the gas chamber. This psalm has brought comfort and hope and courage to all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances. It is, as I said, one of the most well-known portions of Scripture throughout the world. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear friends, here is the shepherding God. The God who tenderly cares for us as a shepherd cares for his precious flock. And this description of God is astounding. It presents to us a picture of a God who, while being the all-powerful Creator, while being purer in His character than we can ever imagine, and while needing no one and no thing, gently, lovingly, and patiently tends to us. And the concern shown to us by this shepherd is all-encompassing. This is not the description of a God who occasionally thinks about His people, or who once in a while glances in their direction to make sure that they're doing well. In this psalm, David gives us a description of a God who is thoroughly aware and completely involved in every aspect of our existence. As we consider Psalm 23 in some detail, we'll do so from David's point of view. What does David reveal in this psalm? How did God as shepherd affect David? As we read these words, three notions in particular stand out. First, the shepherding of God is comprehensive, so that David truly declares that he has no want. Second, the shepherding of God produces courage, a courage that allows David to have no fear, even in the most threatening and frightening of circumstances. And third, the shepherding of God instills in David a sure confidence, a confidence that extends beyond this life and into the next. Let's look at these points in more detail. The shepherding of God is comprehensive, verses 1, 2, and 3. In this psalm, David describes God as a shepherd, and obviously he means to convey a particular concept concerning the relationship to God. It seems that David's main idea is that God cares for him, or that God has regard for him, and this regard takes the form, as I stated earlier, of an all-encompassing watch over David. No part of David's life is outside this watch. Nothing that David experiences is outside the realm of this watch. David is describing a relationship in which he lives in the care of God at all times. This is a relationship in which David is completely dependent upon God, and God's guardianship of David is therefore comprehensive. Let's take note to begin with the name David uses for God in this psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the name Jehovah. Among other things, this name speaks of God as the covenant-keeping God. It is a name by which He revealed Himself to Moses just before the people of Israel were delivered from bondage in Egypt. The basis for that deliverance, according to God, was the covenantal relationship that the Hebrews had with Him by way of the patriarchs. Jehovah, or Lord, recalls God's unfailing faithfulness. It recalls the immutability of God's promises. It recalls God's utterly consistent habit of keeping His word. It is this God, the God who promises and keeps His promises, the God who speaks and acts, the God whose word is more trustworthy than our own observations. It is this God who David declares to be his shepherd. There could be no greater shepherd. A man could not have a more reliable guardian than Jehovah. God's record of faithfulness and promise-keeping makes him the ideal watchman. And all that follows this opening statement is a consequence of the character of Jehovah. David is able to say these marvelous things because he is referring to Jehovah, the ever-faithful, promise-keeping God. As one to whom promises had been made by Jehovah, David knew how to describe his relationship with God. In a sense, Psalm 23 is an exposition of this name of God, Jehovah. And what we find in Psalm 23 is what the name Jehovah means to those who have Him as their God. Perhaps we should view David's next phrase as a blanket explanation of what it means to have Jehovah as shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The word translated "want" simply means to lack or have a need. Throughout the Old Testament, this term is used to describe the absolute sufficiency of God's grace. His people never have true need. Verse 1 is a summary of the whole Christian experience. Because God is who He is, His people have no need of any kind. The state of God's people, as David testifies, is directly related to the nature of God. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah, the ever-faithful, all-powerful God, whose purposes, which are always good and holy, cannot be opposed. What else could be said about those who know God, except that we shall not want? In one sense, this is the only thing that David could declare once he said, Jehovah is my shepherd. Because anything less than that all-encompassing statement would have contradicted the very character of the Lord. And David now begins a description of his relationship to Jehovah by following the shepherding motif, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, typically, a shepherd must move his flock numerous times during the day in order to find enough food. They go from one grassy place to another until they all have been fed. And then around noon, the shepherd leads his sheep to a grassy meadow where they are allowed to rest. And throughout the morning, the sheep simply follow the shepherd's leading, and in time, they're brought to a most comfortable place where they lie down. The idea communicated by David is that Jehovah tends to our every need. A shepherd knows when to feed his sheep, and he knows when they need rest. His desire above all things is to take care of those sheep. Likewise, David teaches, when we are hungry, Jehovah feeds us. And when we are weary, He supplies rest. The sheep are completely dependent upon the shepherd, and so David indicates we are completely dependent upon Jehovah. Throughout our lives, He is watching over us, even though we, like real sheep, with a human shepherd, may be unaware of the Lord's vigilance. And further, David writes, He leads me beside quiet waters. This phrase is a parallel to the previous. That is, both clauses in verse 2 are meant to express the same fundamental idea. The picture here is of a shepherd who finds a grassy meadow where his sheep can rest, and nearby, there's a source of water for them to drink. This is a safe place. It's a pleasant place. The water is quiet, which means that this place is comfortable and peaceful. There's nothing to disturb the rest of the sheep. So it is with Jehovah and His people, David says. He supplies food when needed and rest when needed, and the environment in which these things are provided is one of serenity and comfort. With the Lord as our shepherd, David teaches, there is no cause for anxiety, no element that might disturb us. We can be completely at ease when we have Jehovah as our shepherd. In verse 3, David began speaking in a slightly different manner, you'll notice. He no longer uses the image of a shepherd and sheep exclusively, but writes in a more direct way of the benefits of knowing Jehovah. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David is giving a spiritual equivalent to the previous image of sheep being led to a relaxing place where they are provided for and protected by the shepherd. When David says that Jehovah restores my soul, he means that the Lord gives him life and sustains him. The broader meaning of life is intended, by the way, by the Hebrew word nephesh, which is rendered in this case soul. The picture of a sheep resting in a grassy meadow is a way of describing the spiritual dimension of our relationship with Jehovah. And moreover, David adds, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This statement clearly demonstrates that David has departed from the imagery used in verses 1 and 2. Jehovah is responsible for teaching David about righteousness, which in turn reflects the holy character of God. However, more is meant than that God simply declares the right way to David and then leaves him on his own. The idea of guidance is foremost. Jehovah causes us to know and practice righteousness by governing our lives. The Lord sees to it that His people live in such a way so as to honor His holiness. He is, to borrow David's picture, our moral shepherd. God does not allow His own to walk indefinitely in the paths of wickedness, but causes them to find and remain in paths of righteousness. Let's remember the meaning of that name, Jehovah. God is a covenant-keeping God. And this is one of the chief implications of this title. The promise that God has made is that his people will walk before him in holiness, and that they will honor him in word and deed. And that this promise is God's doing in us is made plain in David's phrase. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's reputation, so to speak, is bound up in the morality of his people. If they're wicked or careless in their expressions of morality, then God's name is spurned, and therefore the Lord himself sees to it that we walk in the paths of righteousness. He does this by regenerating us, of course, and providing us with the Holy Spirit. In doing this, God is protecting the integrity of his name, which, as I've said, is the declaration of his nature. David presents to us, then, God's comprehensive concern for his people. They lack nothing. They're cared for in the most complete terms possible. And this shepherding of God finds its most significant expression in his oversight of his people as they learn the principles of righteousness and are thereafter characterized by those principles. Throughout God's great name and God's many promises to us are at stake. Because he is Jehovah, the promise-keeping, ever-faithful God, he will tend to us in the most complete manner. He will be our teacher, our comforter, our protector. The second point that David makes in verses 4 and 5 is that the shepherding of God produces courage. Quite naturally, given what David has said about Jehovah's regard for his people, he now speaks of one result of this relationship. David describes the courage which he has knowing that Jehovah watches over him. The comprehensive nature of the Lord's concern for his people means that there's nothing, really nothing, for them to fear. How should David express this idea? What subject can he speak about which will sufficiently convey the exhaustive character of God's care for us? We need only ask this question. What is it that strikes fear in the heart of every person? The answer is death. And this is the idea David uses. Death is a notion that instantly reminds us of our limitations. It is a concept that truly scares us because it is final and it represents the unknown. And so, David picks this most frightening concept to describe the effect of having the Lord as his shepherd. Notice the vivid figure that David uses. He writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David does not simply mention the idea of death here, nor is he satisfied by just reminding us about death's reality. He does something else. David communicates to us the scariness of death. David writes of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. What an image! This is like being in the presence of death. It's like finding yourself all alone in the land of death. David's picture is not just of death, it is the valley of the shadow of death. Death looms and casts this giant shadow over all, and there, way down in some valley, which is completely absorbed in death's shadow, is David. Is he afraid? Is he fearful? Is he trembling? Is he crying? No. Even there, David proclaims, "I fear no evil, for you are with me." Not even death. The most terrifying experience of all is outside Jehovah's shepherding presence. "You are with me," David writes. Even in death, even as the darkness of death surrounds us, the Lord is with us. It's hard to determine whether David is referring to the actual time of dying or if, in order to make a point, He's using death as a symbol of the most serious kind of circumstances. Whatever the case, the conclusion is that with Jehovah as our shepherd, there is nothing for us to fear. Not the threat of death, nor our actual deaths. Nor, by way of implication, of course, anything short of death. This is indicated by the phrase, "I will fear no evil." The word translated evil is a general word. It means things like wickedness, mischief, hurt, trouble, affliction, adversity. The man who has Jehovah as his shepherd need have no fear. We need not fear enemies or circumstances, no matter how threatening or severe. The shepherding image comes to the forefront again when David adds, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Most interpreters believe that David is thinking of some kind of club used to drive off or kill wild beasts in order to protect the sheep, and then a crook that would be used to guide the sheep. However, the two terms make it really impossible to determine exactly what David had in mind. Nevertheless, the concept is clear enough because David adds, "They comfort me." Whatever instruments he means to describe, David emphasizes the result of the shepherd's use of them. And that term comfort, in this context, speaks of a sense of well-being, a sense of safety. Jehovah guards us like a good shepherd guards his sheep, and Jehovah guides us like a good shepherd guides his sheep. At this point, it seems that another image is introduced. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Verse 5. David describes himself as being present at a feast. All that his enemies can do, you'll notice, as this feast unfolds, is look on. They are not able to harm him due to the protection of his shepherd, Jehovah. The idea here may be that the Lord causes his people to be at peace even in the midst of threats and curses from their enemies. We remain calm because we know that Jehovah himself is watching over us. Let me point out something. When you can celebrate a feast, even in the presence of your enemies, or even during some frightening situation, then you truly are at peace, and you truly do have confidence. This is how David describes his situation before the Lord. One custom at such gatherings was the anointing of the guest of honor. Notice that David adds that Jehovah anointed his head with oil. This image again conveys the idea that David is completely at peace because he is the object of the Lord's particular, all-sufficient concern. He's like an honored guest in the house of Jehovah. And all this happens right in front of those who hate David. "My cup overflows," he says. Here's another image intended to communicate peace and freedom from dread. In this image, there is an abundance of wine. There's no shortage of the beverage that signals prosperity and serenity. David can drink his fill because he is in no hurry, and nothing will prevent or interrupt God's favor. Because the Lord cared for David as a shepherd cares for his sheep, David had no fear of anything, not death, and certainly not his enemies. As Jehovah blessed David and provided for him in an abundant fashion, the most that David's enemies could do was watch. They could not prevent David from receiving and enjoying the blessings of the Lord, because the Lord had chosen to have David as his own. The third point in verse 6, the shepherding of God instills confidence. Finally, David concludes this psalm with a declaration that reveals his confidence about the future. Verse 6 once again. "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It looks as if the figure of shepherding is abandoned at this point, and David summarizes what has been said. David did not expect Jehovah to withdraw his care. In fact, he anticipated just the opposite. David was convinced that the Lord's goodness and loving kindness would be upon him for the rest of his life, he fully expected to spend eternity in the house of the Lord. All that David had received from Jehovah, all the promises and all the demonstrations of regard, produced the confidence that's revealed in this verse. David's favored status before Jehovah was not a temporary arrangement, because it was grounded in the promises of the Lord, and those promises were forever active. The word translated goodness, by the way, is a broad Hebrew term. It means such things as prosperity, wealth, favor, that which is pleasant, that which is agreeable, that which is excellent. It refers to welfare, happiness, bounty. David is saying that he expects to experience God's blessings in various ways throughout the remainder of his days. There will be a multitude of ways in which Jehovah will demonstrate his regard for David, and he will never know anything but the Lord's keeping favor. The term loving kindness is a particularly important word. This expression means mercy, kindness, goodness, favor, and faithfulness. This term is used in the Old Testament in a significant way when applied to God. Jehovah's loving kindness is reserved for those who obey his laws, those who are walking faithfully before him. This is a word that has special meaning, therefore, to those who are within the covenant of grace. To those, the Lord shows special regard, as David has described in this psalm. Only Jehovah's people know his saving and keeping loving kindness. Due to Jehovah's faithfulness, due to what David had already experienced, he looked to the future with confidence. He understood that for the rest of his earthly existence, the Lord would guard him and cause his way to prosper. And when the last day of his earthly existence arrived, David was confident that he would pass from this life to the next, and there he would be with the Lord who loved him and who would keep him forever. Yes, this psalm may be a simple psalm. It may be considered by some to be a children's psalm due to its imagery and simplicity. But the truth is, this psalm explains what it means to be one of God's people. There is a plain, childlike beauty to this relationship. However, at the same time, this relationship is deep and satisfying and eternal. God has caused the essence of his relationship to be captured in the 23rd Psalm in language all can understand. When we read this psalm, we can only conclude that Jehovah loves us and will love us throughout all our days and will love us throughout eternity. This is one of those passages of Scripture in which the explanation is, to an extent, also the application. If we understand what this psalm means, then we also have our application of it. Everything said in this psalm is encouraging, and everything leaves us with a sense of profound well-being. David wrote, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd." This is where we begin to understand our relationship with God. Jehovah is a name whereby God emphasizes his intention to be faithful to his people. The God who created and who sustains, the God who does as he pleases in all things, the God who has all knowledge and all power, is the God who has regard for you. Jehovah, the promise-keeping God, watches over you. Jehovah, the God who never forgets his own, the God who always keeps his own, has concern for you, my friend. This name alone, which David gives to his shepherd, is sufficient to bring us limitless comfort and unshakable hope. Throughout all generations, Jehovah has been the shepherd of his people. They have survived and they have been blessed. They have known his favor. And now, we are those for whom Jehovah is shepherd. We cannot help but be glad when we look back upon what God promised and look back upon how he has taken care of his people. Because today, we are those people. Today, Jehovah is our shepherd. And this truth, even without elaboration, should fill our souls with joy and thanksgiving. especially during these trying circumstances. We have as our guardian the God who speaks and does, the God who gives his word and keeps his word. Whatever promises we have received from him will surely be fulfilled. I'll close with a few remarks based upon the three great truths that stood out in Psalm 23. David taught us that the shepherding of Jehovah is comprehensive. The shepherding of God produces courage. And the shepherding of God, the shepherding of Jehovah, instills confidence that extends beyond this life. Are you concerned about anything at this moment? Maybe I should say, is there anyone who's not concerned at this moment? Is there any circumstance, any possibility, which is causing you uneasiness, maybe even fear? Or for some, in these days, it may be grief. If so, I want to tell you something. This Psalm of David is your refuge. This psalm, so to speak, is where you, as a believer, live out your days. Whatever is troubling you is known to him. And isn't that a comforting thought? Whatever is troubling you is known to the one who is your shepherd, and he will tend to that situation for you. He will not abandon you, nor will he stand back and watch you try to handle it on your own. Jehovah is our shepherd, and a shepherd does not behave like that. A shepherd looks out for his sheep, and Jehovah, the eternal God, is watching out for you. Do not fear, no matter what it is that is causing you anxiety this day. David could say that nothing, even death, could rob him of his courage because the Lord was his shepherd. So whatever we're facing, whatever we face in the days to come, let's remember that Jehovah has regard for us. Let's remember that the Lord confounds our enemies and he blesses us abundantly, even as they look on and are incapable of preventing it. Remember that the Lord is ready to defend us with his club if necessary, even to the point of destroying our enemies. He's also ready to guide us so that our life is characterized by the righteousness that pleases him so. And one of these days, my friends, one of these days, you will contemplate departing this life. Perhaps you have already. When that day comes, remember the words of David. After a life filled with expressions of goodness, God's goodness and loving kindness, the best is yet to come. You will leave this life and go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is where he is leading us as his sheep. That is the end of our journey. We will persevere because he's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.